Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our text for this morning's short meditation is found recorded in the 11th chapter of John, where Christ is talking to Martha. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. I think most of us recall the background of that particular text, where Lazarus had already died. It wasn't just a recent death, but he had been dead for several days and decayed. And Christ did something that showed forth his power, his majesty, his divinity, by walking out to that particular tomb and saying, Lazarus, come forth. And that which wasn't suddenly was. Walked out alive and well. During this Epiphany season, I guess we need to remember more so about the manifestation of Jesus Christ as true God and true man, not just from a reading of a text, but in our own lives. That the same God, the same Jesus, who can do the things that we have read about, perform the various miracles that we believe in, can also work in us, and does, day after day, to perform constant miracles. You're back safe from vacation. We had the kind of winter, or we're having the kind of winter so far, that we could not believe after last year. At this time, it was really something not to want to remember. But it was terrible. Now it's so mild, we don't really know whether winter is just late or has forgotten to come or it's going to last all the way through April. We're not too sure. But as we are here, we are thankful to God that He has done what He has done. And as we think about Epiphany, we should also be thankful to God that He is not just doing things historically speaking. He is not just the God of history. That's true too. But He's a present God. He's the same God of power who works in our lives day after day as we wake up in the morning. If those of you who do say the morning prayer of Luther, you're kind of confessing that, aren't you? You're kind of saying, You got me through another night by your grace, by your power. The same kind of power that you see here. I am the resurrection and the life. To believe in Jesus Christ is not, as one man said, intellectual knowledge or assent alone. To believe in Christ is trusting in those promises of God, trusting in Him and what He has said He's going to do. Not to try and analyze it, make it logical, but to know He is what He says He is. He will do what He says He's going to do, and He's doing it. We gather here not just for a chapel, but for nourishment. To realize that in our classes, we're going to study about this same God, the present God, the historical God, the God of the future, the everlasting God, who will continue to work miracles in us. He brought Lazarus from the dead. Now, I'm not going to say that we are dead. Some may feel that way coming back from such a long vacation and not quite ready to crank up. But let's not put that kind of a trip on you. But even if you feel a little sluggish and not quite ready to go, we have a very helpful God, a concerned God. And take it a step further. Those of you in your own personal lives who have troubles, I don't mean just worried. People who are sick. Some may have lost people over the week, not over the weekend, over the holidays. Death can take pleasure and joy in what Christ is saying. I am the resurrection and the life. That those loved ones, some of those that you love so dearly, they believe in Christ, that they're with Him now, enjoying this word, enjoying the comfort of His presence. And they have something on us. We're looking forward to it, and they have it. Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the miracle maker, the one who does everything right. He doesn't do it just on occasion, but he does it in our hearts. He does it all the time. Would you call yourself a miracle? Would you see it that way? Or would you say, I'm just an ordinary old Christian? All I do is believe. I say a few prayers every day, and I do the best I can. I even try and smile sometimes, even though it's after Christmas. Would you call yourself a miracle? If you don't call yourself a miracle, you've missed the whole point of God's Spirit working in you. You missed the whole point of God being with you. You missed the whole point of God wanting to stay with you. Because you know, from if you can recall the epistle lesson from yesterday's service, it's in 1 Corinthians. And it tries to remind us that if you're in Christ, two things that must be. You can't call Jesus a curse, and you can't say he is Lord unless you have the Spirit of God. I'm going to add one more thing to that. You can't have the Spirit of God unless he gives it to you. And that, indeed, is a miracle. If you believe in Christ, if you love him as your Savior, you are a miracle. Christ has worked on you as well as on anyone else who believes. One other thought comes to mind. Prop, students, wives, friends, you look forward to what's going to happen in 1983. And we don't know. It makes me think about another incident where the impossible became true. Another miracle occurred. When God came to Abraham to say to him, next spring your wife's going to have a baby. And he laughed. He thought it was kind of comical. 89 years old is not quite the age for childbearing. And they waited a pretty long time. 24 years is a long wait for patience. And Ishmael was there already, so why worry? Couldn't God just kind of swap off and use him? They had that son. And Sarah was back there preparing something or another, and she laughed. She really laughed. Humanly speaking, she probably was right to laugh that way. Humanly speaking, but not divinely speaking. She couldn't do that anyway. And when God challenged her and said, what are you laughing at? She denied it. I wouldn't laugh at you, Lord. Yes, she did. Then he said something we should always underscore in our hearts. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Epiphany season reminds us nothing is too hard for the Lord. He became incarnate. He manifested himself as God and man. He's still doing that. Is anything too hard for him to do in our lives? Anything too difficult for him to handle? Do we have a prayer that he'll say, oh, I can't handle that one. You really got me on that one. Is he like a computer? Is he like Pac-Man? You hit a certain little score and you got it. And you put your name on somebody's list. No. He's not that which is created. He's not that which is manipulated. Nothing is too hard for him. Even Lazarus, the decayed one, who came out with not a blemish on him. He was not decayed. Now, I would have been frightened to see somebody come out of a tomb after decayed 4 days in that climate. I wouldn't have stayed to watch. They did. They had trust in Christ, and we should have the same trust. The things that seem so unreal just can't be, can be with God. You have but to believe in him. Trust in him as the one who continues to manifest himself in our hearts through the Word. Trust his Word. It wasn't written just to analyze and say, isn't that nice, but to believe. And God works through that Word. We talk about Epiphany. Let's make it our own particular task that as we are on campus in our classes, to manifest as much as possible Christ in our own lives. In your own way, let people know that you are that walking miracle, that nothing is too hard for God, that even there, I have to say, even silently, those who knew you before you got to the seminary, they'll say, I guess God can work miracles. Even he's coming out okay. But let your light so shine that men can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. May it please Almighty God then that during the season of Epiphany, as we talk more about how he manifested himself as the Son of God, Son of Man, we also, through the power of his Spirit, will manifest ourselves as lights, little lights of Jesus Christ. God grant this. In his holy name say, Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.